Paul Colmer, ex-co member at the Wireless Access Providers Association, WAPA, joins us on the line. Did that break in transmission have anything to do with load shedding, Paul?
Actually not. Yes, they are being frequently experienced in the part of KZN where I reside.
Well, we get it here as well. I mean, we're absolutely dependent on making contact via Zoom or via telephony. And we've been having ongoing problems in the quality of services, probably as a consequence of load shedding. Would it be?
Absolutely. We're finding now that, you know, due to the dispersed nature of the working environment, where we're setting up Zoom meetings and Teams meetings all over the country, and one or more of the members of, you know, participating members in that meeting can be in an area of load shedding, and, you know, the service drops and they can't participate in the calls. It's actually also not a problem just with the cellular networks. You said earlier you're lucky to have fiber and backup power. But if you look outside of the metros, especially on the old telecom exchanges, they actually, fibres are feeding the local FTTH and FTT business fibres, and they are collapsing as well now. The older exchanges don't have enough power to survive stage six anymore.
Wow.
So it's not just, the cellular problem is much bigger because of the huge power requirements that these cellular towers have.
Okay.
But yes, it is affecting the fiber as well in outlying areas.
Okay. Just tell us at the start, what is or who is or what is the Wireless Access Providers Association, WAPA?
Okay. WAPA, the Wireless Access Providers Association, was started in 2006 to look after what we call the WISPs, the Wireless Internet Providers. We have approximately 250 members, and 200 of those are licensed wireless internet providers who have their own tower infrastructure and between them a national footprint of South Africa. And we deliver wireless internet services to the home and business across South Africa, obviously. And then we look after the members, all their regulatory requirements. And, you know, it's an organization of keeping them in track and delivering standards and quality of service.
Yeah, but, so, continue, please, Paul.
No, we've been affected by load shedding and power, but due to the nature, most of my members are SMEs, they're smaller companies, they're far more agile, and most of them built their tower infrastructure without grid power from the beginning or serious backup and solar. So most have been able now to go completely off grid because our power requirements are far, far, far less than what a cellular tower would require. So it's been much easier for us to get back to a sort of 99.9% uptime, which is the huge challenge for the cellular industry because the nature of how thirsty those towers are for power.
I got you. I got you. And our source often for data, especially, are those towers.
Sorry?
Our source for data are those very cell phone towers. In a lot of, you know, people consume, of course, the internet via their cell phones.
Yes, absolutely. And the way they were designed to run on grid power.
Yes.
And then obviously have backup for a number of hours should there be an interruption. They certainly weren't designed for multiple bouts of load shedding, which depletes the batteries and does not give them significant time to recharge between the outages.
Gotcha.
And this is what we're experiencing now.
Gotcha.
And that is a problem compounded by the fact they're also riddled with battery theft, which has become more prolific because the value of batteries because of load shedding has a higher black market value. So it's a combination of theft and not enough capacity that has created the problem we're all experiencing nationally in SA.
I think just to put it into context then, it doesn't matter how many solar panels or batteries we stick into our household, we're not going to be able to solve that particular problem, because that problem is at source. It's got nothing to do with us on the receiving end. And it's going to be a wee while before we have a stable grid. So this is going to be normal.
Absolutely. I mean, for a home that has no backup power, you know, with inverters, solar or batteries, it's very, very easy to buy a device off the shelf for under R1,000, which will back up your wireless router,
yes,
you know, for the duration of load shedding. But it serves no power purpose whatsoever when the towers drop. You're 100% correct. It is completely out of our control. They are making inroads into it. I think the latest stats said that Vodacom spent $2 billion last year on power, and they're just really beginning to start scratching the surface. But it's not as easy as putting solar panels up. Solar panels get stolen, and the amount of solar panels you would need, it's where you're going to put them.
Yeah.
That becomes another issue. It is an enormous challenge.
Okay, so now we know that these cell phone towers require a lot of energy, so it needs a very considered alternative to the grid, and an expensive one. And R2 billion was spent by Vodacom to supplement the power for those towers last year. It's a lot of money that was spent. Now, we are seizing upon, and we're hoping to seize, but everything is so lethargic. We're hoping to seize upon the fourth industrial revolution to kind of narrow the gap between rich and poor. This is a setback for us, right? How does this impact any movement to kind of reduce the kind of inequality that we have in this country?
Okay, it's a great question, and it's one that I'm very passionate about. And one of the things we have to get right is bridge the digital divide and get affordable connectivity out into the underserviced areas. Now, there is a harsh reality of what is happening with the mobile network operators, that they received additional spectrum last year, which has now allowed them to roll out 5G networks, which they are doing. Unfortunately, that means that they're spending a lot of money on 5G in the metro areas and not spending where it's needed in the underserved areas. And obviously, although 5G technology is more efficient power-wise per data bit, due to the nature of the equipment, it ends up extremely thirsty. So they're just adding more power requirements to existing towers and spending fortunes doing this to service, you know, the richer suburbs and the high LSM groups, which money that should be going into the underserviced areas for delivering more affordable internet. But there again, the CEOs of these mobile companies, their number one priority is to look after their shareholders. And, you know, rather than say we have a social responsibility to do this. And I think that's true of any large business. So I'm not particularly, targeting the mobile network operators in that comment.
And I just noticed you've seen in your crystal ball that in not too distant the future, we are going to start seeing internet disruptions in those suburbs as well, in the urban areas as well. Have we lost?
Yes, sorry.
Did you hear the question? Should I repeat it?
Yes, please. The question.
Okay, now you are saying your crystal ball tells you that we're going to see disruptions in the urban areas as well. Why would that be?
It's happening all over, and it depends that, you know, no two cellular sites are the same in the equipment that is on them or the design of them, and at what stage they were last upgraded and what battery technology have. There is so many combinations, and they are the same and both different in the urban, semi-rural and all over. So it is not a problem. It is particularly, I think, more noticeable in the smaller towns and the outlying areas. And, you know, it's to do with people having to get there and fix these solutions. Both Vodacom and MTN are spending fortunes on burning diesel generators on some of these sites. Unfortunately, that's polluting the environment. And number two, diesel, like everything else, it gets stolen. And it's very labor-intensive delivering, you know, fuel to these sites to get them running.
Yeah.
Solar would be a great advantage, but if you look at a lot of the cell sites in the metro areas, they've been put up with what they look like artificial trees, so they fit into the environment to get them through the environmental planning, so it's not an ugly cell tower. Well, this was a very good idea, but you could imagine you can't mount loads of solar panels on one of these. There's actually nowhere to put them.
Yeah.
So it's a whole rethink game. And as I say, each tower has a different power requirement. To give you an idea, just a very small site with three LTE antennas and nothing else would probably draw about 6 kilowatts in an hour.
Wow.
And then it's climbing to sort of 15 kilowatt once you start putting 5G and all the other equipment and associated stuff, even more if you're using air conditioning and such like, equipment.
Paul, we're going to have to wrap it up there, but we're going to look at the towers in a very different way from here on in. Exco member at the Wireless Access Providers Association. Your time with us is appreciated. There's some silver lining as well that Paul promises. The reliability of wireless internet service providers wisps over their mobile network and fiber to home counterparts. Many wisps invested in off-grid and power backup solutions from the start. So they have the edge, and that's the silver lining in a very dark cloud.